Yeah, it's time for Ask the Mayor, a public affairs program every Sunday right after Tim's forecast. And then always we're on the air around the world at WHLC.com. We put that up on the air.
Steve, I agree with you. I was coming back from the Regional Planning Commission on Tuesday night, and I could pick up HLC all the way at Cowie Mountain, all the way into Highlands.
At times, also too, past Clayton, you can pick us up, and sometimes into Gainesville. The hurricane category 4 slamming into Fort Myers and the western portion of Florida, now scrubbing along Orlando, and now it is making that turn and going into the Carolinas, and crews are out there, but it's always good to go over what people should do.
That's right, Stephen. And let me just begin by saying I was watching that terrible storm hit the coast of Florida this past week. What was kind of uplifting to me was this. You know, we have a lot of political division and stuff in our country today. But when you see people under emergency and distress, it's heartening to realize that our leaders and people put those things aside and work together to make sure that people are safe and protected from these types of natural disasters.
Boy, so, amen.
We've been tracking this storm all week. When I say tracking, what does that mean? Our emergency manager, Warren Cabe of Macon County, constantly sends us updates from the National Weather Service, and it's a very complicated reports with potential graphs of what could happen and their forecasts from every 6 hours. So we're reading that. And then since we are a wholesale customer of Duke Energy, they send us their reports too. And they have their own weather department and service with their meteorologist, and they're constantly sending out updates about what they think is going to happen to their grid system. We are reading both of those reports constantly, trying to make our best decisions about how to manage our electric department and our grid should the storm come here and cause, you know, power outages. You know, we like to say it's a precise science. You just never know what one of these storms will do. And this is where we've been this weekend. We were talking on Friday and Thursday saying, if we get heavy rain, we can manage that. We always get heavy rain. But the wind and rain becomes an unknown factor. People will say, well, it's breaking up, the hurricane that's tracking toward the Carolinas, it's breaking up. And when it arrives, the wind gusts will only be 35, maybe 40 miles an hour. Well, they're predicting that on a lower level elevation, maybe 2,000 feet below where we are, or 3,000 feet. So when the winds hit in the upper atmosphere where we are, those 40-mile-an-hour winds could be 80 or 75 miles an hour. And when that happens, we get very concerned, because the last time that happened, I think with Michael or one of the hurricanes around 2018, we didn't just have lines blown down up on Satula and over by Sherwood. We had utility poles in line being snapped. And when they go down like that, don't expect the power to be up in 30 minutes. We have to literally replace the utility poles and put in all the rigging, and that takes time.
So, and of course, you got to keep people away from 911.
In these types of major storms, when we lose power or you lose power, more than likely the whole system is down, or a big portion of it is down. And also our electric crews are either in the town yard building waiting to be deployed, or they have their radios on and they're waiting for a report of an outage. So what I'm saying is, if you lose power in an expected tropical storm, I'd appreciate you not immediately calling 911 where they're dealing with, you know, constant emergency calls. Just be patient. We will get the information of where the power outage is, and as soon as it's safe for our workers, our linemen and everything, they will get right on it to make sure your power is restored. I know the tendency is, if it goes out, we want it on as soon as possible, but in these types of situations, sometimes we have multiple problems, trees falling down, utility poles snapping, and it takes a little bit of time to get power restored in those kind of situations.
Yeah, just call town hall. and they'll take care of it. Now, they already know where to channel that phone call to.
And I will say this. During the weekday business hours, yes, call Town Hall, and we'll make sure we're getting the information out to our line crews. But on the weekend, we depend on the emergency call service, and we just don't want to inundate that system with calls where we already know there's an outage and we're on it. So we'd appreciate, you know, everybody understanding and being patient this weekend or any time else we have a major storm coming through.
We're recording this on Thursday, and the mayor has his community coffee the last Friday of every month. You have your special guests. This is where we can talk, ask questions to our reps.
That's
our representatives
right.
Coming in.
Yeah, on Wednesday, I sent out a reminder of the meeting to Senator Corbin and Representative Gillespie. I think they're looking forward to being able to meet with their constituents. And as always, that coffee is somewhere where people can ask questions that people wanted to know about concerning state government or what's happening in this region. I know they are always willing to respond any way they can.
I know that you have always said that they always want to know what's going on in Highlands. Of course, we are in Macon County and a very special part of Macon County.
Well, I will say this. As the mayor and the town, we have good relations with our representatives. They're only a phone call away if I, as the mayor, want them to work on a problem or help us out. They have been very responsive to the folks here on the plateau.
You are a potter, and quite an extraordinary one. You don't like to brag about it. But coming up, we have another Empty Bowls, and you were a big part of it, if not the part of bringing the Empty Bowls to the area.
That's right. The Empty Bowls will be at the Presbyterian Church today at noon. I think that's a very important community event. And yes, I've been a potter now for over 50 years. I continue to make work in my studio. When the Bascom opened about 12 years ago, I was the potter in residence. I was honored to kind of be the first potter to kind of usher in the Empty Bowl project here in Highlands. I know the Bascom continues to play the key role in providing those bowls. It's interesting how you start a project sometimes and you have no idea how it will be received. And this initiative just continues to go on and serve a very important service in providing food security for so many people in this area.
I know when I first got here in 2006, your wife, Sally, was a big part of the Bascom.
Yes, she was. And Kay McCann, who is now our chamber director, she was the director of the Bascom during that time. So a lot of people have been involved in making the Bascom a success and making these types of benefits for the community successful, too.
Right. The headline in the Highlander there, school board discusses possible improvements to the Highland School. You're ready for that. You love that.
Absolutely. I'm a former educator, so I always want to see our community investing in the young people in their education. I know there's a lot of discussion, and there'll be a rollout this month of the design for the new Franklin High School, which will serve most of the county, except we do have the K-12 schools in Nantahala and Highlands. But overall, that I think is going to be an important project, and I'm really gratified to see that the County Board of Education and the County Commissioners are concerned about education also. They've helped the Highland School move forward for many years. About a decade or so ago, they did some major renovation at the Highland School. Now I know there's discussion about improving the soccer field that's been in operation for about a decade also. These kind of things are very important. And also, I was really impressed with the local community group that supports the school, the Advancing Highlands Education Committee of AHEC, is involved, and they're providing new equipment, computer equipment for our students. That just adds to the value of an education that a student receives at the Highland School. So I'm really supportive of this school. I think it's a unique school, and it's a great school for students to attend. With that said, some people think that the Highland School by name is operated by the town of Highlands, and that's not the case. It is a county public school, and it's in the county system, and it's governed by the Macon County Board of Education, and then the funds come from the commissioners of Macon County. We, of course, are supportive of the school, but we do not, as a town control the operation of the school. I think it's a good system. It's a county school system that we should all support. Another thing that I'm really excited about is that it looks like there's movement toward funding and providing a pre-K school program for the school, which is really needed to help address our issues about providing adequate child care here on the plateau.
So I know the Houston House was demolished about a year ago, and how is that coming along?
The next step would be to find a way to fund a replacement building. We've had a conceptual design put forth. I think as we move toward the next budget planning sessions, we need to address that, because after-school programs are very important. Our recreation department, if we had an adequate building, could play a role in providing that type of child care support.